for the spirit that you have given us. Lord, speak to us this evening. Strengthen our brother. We praise you for this time together. Yes, Lord, we open our hearts to you. Speak to us through our brother. Words of eternal life. Lord, we are here to hear your voice. Teach us through the anointment. Lord, give us overflowing life this evening. We know that we have entered into life out of death because we love the brothers. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity tonight to hear your voice. We pray, give us all ears to hear what the Spirit is speaking to the church. Cleanse our hearts and our mind. Give us all an understanding mind, a heart, that the good seed may fall onto a good earth soil. Amen. During this time, I learned to love this first letter of John. John does everything very clearly. There's no gray. It's only black and white, death and life, hate or love. There's nothing in between. It's so clear. You cannot interpret this wrongly. This is something I love about this letter of John. It's so clear, and this aspect, which he mentions very strongly, is the aspect of love. And we've read these verses. He starts with the example of Cain, who hated his brother and murdered him. And the word tells us that in the world, truly, there is no love. We actually even see much more in the time just before the Lord is coming back. The love is getting cold and the hatred and murder increases. A very current example is what's happening in the Ukraine right now. Actually, Ukrainians and Russians, they used to be called brothers, but now look what a murder and hatred. You can see that now, that the world lies in the hands of the evil one. Its expression is hate. That's the product which you can see. The world cannot produce this love of the Lord. It's not possible. And John also tells us here, he says, "Do not wonder, brothers, if the world hates you." This means for us, it shouldn't be something unusual. If we love the Lord and we stand for the Lord, that we don't meet love, but we meet hate in the world. We shouldn't be. John even says that this is normal. John said, if the world hated me, it will hate you as well. The Lord said that. And the Lord said that the world hated him because he testified that the works of this world are evil. This means that the world will hate us if we are a testimony for the Lord. As we heard the past days, if we love the world and are similar or the same as the world, then I don't think the world will hate us. But if we love the Lord and we are faithful, then, and if we stand in for the truth and testify the truth, then we will be met with hate. I experienced this with my colleagues. I can speak with them about everything, but as soon as I start speaking a word of the Lord, everything's over. The friendliness, They don't even look at me. Everything's over. And if the topic's done, then the eyes come back up and they start looking at me again. That's how the darkness is today in this world. We do not need to wonder that the world is hating us. This is something that John makes very clear here with the example of Cain and Abel. If Abel's sacrifice wasn't accepted by the Lord, then Cain wouldn't have a reason to kill him. But he killed him because Abel's sacrifice was righteous. God accepted it. That means through this, it was revealed that Cain's work was evil. That means our life with the Lord reveals the evil of the sin in this world. That's why our walk is so important, to be a testimony in this time, that we are not like the world, but we are, on the contrary, living like the Lord did. John does not refer in this verse just about the hatred of the world towards us, but he says, who hates his brother. That means, unfortunately, amongst the people of God, there's also hatred. And that is truly a sad thing. He says, who hates his brother lives in death. And if we look at the scripture shows many examples amongst brothers, the hatred amongst brothers in the Old Testament. We see many examples of this, not just Cain and Abel, Esau and Jacob. Esau hated his brother and wanted to kill him when his father would die. And we see Joseph, how he was hated by his brothers. What kind of hatred was towards Joseph? They wanted to kill him. And then if we look at the people of Israel during kings and how much war they made, not just against other nations, but amongst each other. How much fight, how much death. Tribe versus tribe. King versus king. Judah versus Israel. One example I want to mention, because it shows how meaningless this murder was. This example of Jude. Jude 12:4-6. Jephthah, when they were fighting against the enemy, he didn't take Ephra with him, and they were crawling. Told him, you didn't take us with you, we will burn your house for this. And that's why it came to fight a war with them. Then it says here in verse 4, it says, reading from verse 4. Now Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought against Ephraim. And the men of Gilead defeated Ephraim because they said, you Gileadites are refugees of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites. The Gileadites seized the fords of the Jordan before the Ephraimites arrived. And when any Ephraimite who escaped said, let me cross over, the men of Gilead would say to him, are you an Ephraimite? If he said no, then they would say to him, then say Shibboleth. And he would say Sibboleth, for he could not pronounce it right. Then they would take him and kill him at the fords of Jordan. There fell at that time 42,000 Ephraimites. So just because you cannot say Shibboleth, you died. Astonishing. You cannot say Shibboleth, only Sibboleth. This is an example. For us today, we Christians. Luckily, we're not fighting with weapons against each other or with fists. But I'm telling you, spiritually, there's a lot of war. And there's also a lot of spiritual murder, killing amongst the people of God. And that because of such simple things. Because someone does not hold the Sabbath. Because one wants to worship the Father. Such things, it's impossible and unbelievable. What things can happen, how much fight amongst the Christians today, how much hatred. And this is a warning for us today. Because John warns us, if hate is there, then you will become a murderer. That means if in your heart bitterness is growing and this bitterness turns into hatred, then you will not stand there. An act will follow. And that's why here in this aspect, we need to be very awake. The Lord warns us in the New Testament of such a bitterness and the hatred towards the brothers. Matthew 5, the Lord says, if you call your brother a fool, then you will go into the fire. And Paul says in Galatians 5, if you bite each other and eat each other, watch that you will not be eaten. And this shows that the Lord warns us for these bitter roots amongst brothers. The hatred. It truly is a very serious matter which the Lord mentions here. We must not take this so easily. It's not a small thing, a small matter. It can bring death into the church. If this hatred, especially amongst responsible brothers, death will go into the entire church. This is truly very serious. That's why today we need to be aware of our heart. Because also consequences that you will lose your reward. This is also serious. If we live in hatred amongst brothers, then the consequence, John says, who hates his brother, he says, has no eternal life living in him, staying in him. That means the consequence is during the millennial kingdom, you will have to go through punishment and not into the eternal life. As a serious warning. And because today we know that the coming of the Lord is soon, it is for us very important to have peace, to seek the peace. If we realize something is in our heart, quickly try to make peace. Also in marriage, in the family, it's very important. We do not have much time. We've read that the Lord is coming soon. The time is really short. And you do not know how much time you have. We also don't know how much time the other one who I have a problem with, how much time he has. We don't know if he will still be there in a week's time. So it's good and wise, as the Lord says in Matthew 5, as long as the enemy is there and you walk with him, hurry up to reconcile yourself with him before he reaches the judge. And I want to give you an example about a brother which we've recently visited, how the Lord warned him in love. He had something in his heart against someone and he wished this person that he may break his neck. And this brother, what happened to him was he woke up during the night. He didn't know why and he wanted to go down the stairs. He slipped, hit his head against the wall and broke his neck. So he broke his own neck. So we visited this brother and he broke the spine, the bone, that if you break this one, you're usually either dead or you can't move anymore. But the Lord was merciful to him. He was still able to move his limbs and he didn't die. And I visited him and I told him, I think the Lord loves you very much. And he said, that's true. The Lord. The Lord was chastening him. And he then told us that he actually wished this to happen upon someone else. But the Lord was chastening him. And we told him, use this to cleanse your heart from everything. And then he said he was not ready to stand in front of the Lord, but in his love, the Lord shook him awake to turn around, to reconcile himself with God and also the people, the person he had this problem with. And that was a reminder for me as well to not wait, but make peace with the saints wherever something is not all right. And the example that John brings is the example of the Lord in this verse in 1 John. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we all ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's a wonderful picture. He says we all went the wrong direction. Everyone went their own path. No one was doing righteous things. No one sought God. No one was looking for God. Everyone just went their way. And the word says that God proved his love, that Christ died for us whilst we were still sinners. So the Lord in his love made the first step. He went out to seek the sinners. That's how we can see the Lord's love. Not that the sinner first started to improve and then the Lord died for him, but when we still were sinners, the Lord died for us. And this is such an example for us, that we too make the first step. If we love the brothers, we take the first step. If there's something between me and Jonathan, the love in me would show if I make the first step. That's the brotherly love, the love of the Lord, which will be expressed. Also, if something's up in marriage, sometimes unpeace is there. You forgot something, and your wife says, oh, again, you forgot it. And then either you can live with this unhappiness, with this unrest, and death will enter, or you make the first step and you say, I'm sorry. Let us seek reconciliation. This first step has a requirement. You need to leave your soul life for the brethren. Leave your proud. If we do not leave our proud, we will stay in death. But we had this time, very precious fellowship about the tree of life and the tree of knowledge, which leads to death. And if we leave our soul life, the word says, then we can offer life, we can give life. The Lord says, for example, if the seed does not fall into the earth and die, it will stay alone. But if it dies, it will bear fruit. So if I do not leave my soul life, my old man, then I will stay in death. I might have kept my pride, but the consequence is death for me and the other person. But if I leave my soul life for the brother, then I will have life and I can bring life to the other one, to the brother. So that's why it's so important for us, this example of the Lord, that the love shows itself by us leaving our soul life for the brothers. Very precious. I think there's no stronger expression for the love amongst each other than this example. It is how the brother said recently, it's not difficult to love others, the others, if everything's fine, if everything's okay, that's not so difficult. If Simon is always friendly to me, it's no problem for me to love Simon. We don't even have to speak about love, then it's there already. But if difficulties come, then the love of the Lord is being expressed. If I leave my soul life for my brother, then the love of the Lord will be expressed. And this is what we need to learn. And this I want to take from these days, to take this life, that this love that the Lord has given us. How much the Lord was ready to leave everything, to give up everything for me. And this is what I want to do. The word does not do this. Unfortunately, also in Christianity, there's not a lot of this there. But it needs to be here in Zion. If we say we are the church, Philadelphia, then exactly this needs to be there. This brotherly love needs to be expressed. And I praise it that the Lord may give us grace that we increase in this matter, that the brotherly love really will increase and be testified in us. That is what the Lord is waiting for. Amen. Continue, dear brother. I'll give a few more minutes to the other brother.
Amen.
Amen.
Ich wollte einen Punkt ergänzen, und zwar.
When he says here, who does not love lives in death. It's very short, few words, right to the point. And this spoke to me strongly. Take this point seriously. Who does not love lives in death. And I asked myself, what will be revealed amongst us? What is visible amongst us? And I read a couple of verses in 1 Corinthians 6. First Corinthians 6, 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? And then 6, but brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. And 7, now therefore it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourself be cheated? And this really spoke to me. If something like this happens in the church, how disastrous this is, how much damage this will bring. And when I was thinking about this, the Lord spoke to me a short point. Do not give any space to the enemy, to the devil. And the Lord showed me, this is the point. Do not give any space to the enemy. A couple of years ago, when I came new to the church, we continuously read Revelations 12:11, week after week. I remember in the Sunday evening meetings, we ate this verse almost every Sunday evening. And now when we read John, it came back to me, why did we speak about this so strongly? Because he says here in Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Love their lives to the death. That is the way how we can overcome the enemy. To not love our soul life until death. And I think that the Lord is shining us with his light in this time, that he shows us how important the brotherly love is, that the brotherly love is victorious on this sinful existence of devil. Yeah, it says here they entered into life out of death because they love the brothers. And this is through the resurrection life of the Lord. And another point that also deals with this matter. In the beginning, I saw the Lord showed me something needs to be revealed in the church. And the Lord has left his glory so he can fulfill it with us, to bring this glory to the full expression through us humans. Through man. Why did he do that? He says in John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And then the point, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Amen. If you have love for one another, the love truly has a high goal for us. He wants to make us to Philadelphia. These days I read in Revelations 2 and 3, and there's one church there which the Lord desires, and that's Philadelphia. It's the church of brotherly love. And if I see this, how difficult is it to leave something, my righteousness, to leave my own righteousness behind? How difficult is it? Sometimes I have to ask myself. It's actually just a small decision on my side, but at the end, something truly big will be revealed. If we all leave our soul lives, then the Lord becomes this church of brotherly love. And that too is a strong encouragement, or was a strong encouragement for me in these days in the world out there. As George already mentioned, the love will go cold in many. But in us, if on the other hand the love increases, what a glory testimony is this for the Lord. We want to rise up. While the world is going downhill, we want to go uphill. And another aspect, a verse in Romans, it says that the creation is waiting for the revelation of the sons of God. And so we too want to wait for the Lord to become his church, Philadelphia. And we don't just wait, but we actively cooperate with him. We leave our soul life for the brothers. Let us read Corinthians. First Corinthians 13, 1 to 7. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 7. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have no love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding in all mysteries and all knowledge, and through I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I gave my body to the burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. It no provokes, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Love never fails. Wonderful verses. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful love. It's patient. It's not jealous. If we don't have love, then we are nothing, nothing at all. That's true.